You are now entering the fact universe, where every star is a tiny tidbit of information, and every planet is a hot ball of truth. And I'm just trying to think of a third thing about the universe that I could use. Something like the moon, maybe? As we blast through the stratosphere, we welcome you with open minds. Join us. And also, can Enter Shikari please not sue us? Sorry for using your music.
Hello and welcome to Fact Off, a weekly podcast where we ponder the meaning of existence by reading out poorly researched facts. Today we're going to answer the big questions. Why do we exist? What does it mean to be human? What's the point in spending about 3 days a week working on a podcast for no financial gain? My name is Liam.
My name's Ted. This week is philosophy.
Classic jingle.
You were meant to do the fact off.
Fact off!
Son of a bitch.
Fact off! So, last week was food and drink. The wonderful world of food and drink. Obviously, we were in that lovely restaurant. Which was, I'm still full from.
I have that horse filled me up.
Yeah.
The horse made of, what was it made of?
Fondant?
Something like that. No, that was the driver.
I don't know. But now we're back in, just in my house.
Yeah.
Recording. We got tea. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? You got a problem
with tea? No, I'm not got a problem at all.
Right. No, it's fine. So anyway, So,
I'm tired.
We're going to announce. You're tired? I'm tired as well. This isn't going to go well, is it? This is going to be a shambles.
This research this week has tired me out.
Yeah, same.
Sorry, go on.
Okay, so we're going to announce last week's winner in a moment. But first, Ted, we've got some correspondence, haven't we? Stop yawning!
Couldn't help it. They don't know I'm yawning.
I thought I'd use it for comic effect.
Yeah. Okay. So we've had some messages on the Facebook group. People have sent us some weird food, like we asked.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Russell sent us a page about bird's nest soup, which I've seen before. And
I don't know what that is.
It's Chinese, and they make it with... There's this bird, like a cave swift.
Okay.
And they make their nest out of saliva.
Okay.
And it's like it's hard. It's like a hard thing. And they put it in soup. In China,
mm-hmm.
And it sort of like makes the soup sort of thick, and it's like a delicacy called bird's nest soup.
Mm.
And the guys that collect these bird's nests are mental. They like climb up the sides of these cliffs just to get at these little bird's nests, like on ladders made out of like bits of wood.
Mm.
And there's like waves smashing into them and stuff like that. They do it just because they get a fair bit of money for it.
Yeah,
it's a delicacy. Steve Russell sent that in, so thanks.
Yeah.
And Jeff Roberts sent us a thing about durian fruit, which is... It's Thai? I can't remember. I did just
I
read
think
it.
I might be.
Yeah, it was from Thailand. Yeah. And it's just this fruit that stinks of horrible... Didn't your mum just say that it smells like sick?
Yeah.
Liam's mum said it smells like sick.
Yeah. my dad came in to me the other day. And he just listened to our last podcast. He came in to me and he went, "Oi, you swear loads in that podcast."
Did you go, "Fuck off, Dad"?
I didn't.
Oh.
I said, "Sorry, Daddy. Sorry, Daddy." Kids.
My dad listened to it the other day.
What did he say?
He asked me if we were really in a restaurant. I said, "Of course we weren't." I mean, yeah, we were.
And I just spoiled the image.
Damn.
Everyone was like, "Can't believe they filmed it.
Can't believe they got a table at the Fat Duck."
Yeah. They must be really respectful.
Yeah,
people.
My dad listened to it the other day for the first time.
What did he say?
He said, I didn't hear him laugh, but he was smiling, so it's alright.
Right.
He's got a different sense of humour to me. He wants jokes with punchlines, my dad.
Yeah.
He's old school.
We should do some jokes. Should we do the winner and then we'll get into it? Yeah.
It's terrible.
So, The winner.
The winner of last week. It was close. It was closer than last week.
Really?
Yep.
The winner. Between the week before.
Shut up.
Okay.
The winner with 58% of the vote was Liam.
Oh, God, it feels so good. It feels so good to win.
Liam, put your pants back on. So what score is that in total now?
It's 3-0, isn't it?
Yeah, 3-0 then.
Okay.
It's neck and neck.
Yeah. So.
Let's go. Okay. Get started.
Philosophy. Go. Round one. I go first because I won last week.
Yeah.
Alright. I'm not bragging. I'm just pointing out the fact.
Yeah, fact are,
I won last week. So deal with it. Okay.
But Liam, what does it mean to win?
Good point. Why do we strive for such bollocks?
I think it was
Plato who said that.
Yeah. Why do we strive for such bollocks?
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to tell you about Democritus, his name is.
Did he invent democracy?
No. He was the first person to propose that everything is made of atoms.
Oh.
And he was a Greek philosopher in 440 BC, estimated though. This is when he first came up with it. And he reasoned that if you were to cut something in half, and then cut one of the halves in half, and so on and so on and so on,
yeah,
eventually you would hit a tiny grain of matter that could not be cut in half. And Democritus called these hypothetical building blocks of matter atoms, or rather it was made into atoms and converted into English after the Greek atomos, meaning uncuttable.
Nice.
That's where the word atoms comes from.
Cool.
That is my first fact.
It's short.
It's fast. Let's move on.
It's clever.
Let's plow on.
You've taught me something.
Good.
And I respect you for it.
Thanks.
I really like that one.
Do it another go.
This is something which I came across, and it's by Ross Cameron,
okay.
and it was from the St. Andrews University Philosophy Department. And what he's made a little table.
Okay.
It's 3 pages long. I'm not going to read all of it. Have you heard of a band called the Beatles?
Yes. Weren't they a copy of the Monkees?
Yes.
At the English version.
Well, Ross thinks that the Beatles were geniuses.
Sure.
And he's interpreted some of their lyrics with their philosophical meanings, what he
connotations.
Believes. Was what he believes the Beatles were really trying to say.
Okay.
So I'm going to read some out to you.
Sure.
Okay. So, from the song All You Need Is Love,
mm-hmm.
John Lennon wrote, there's nothing you can know that isn't known. Now, what he was saying there was, John Lennon advocates metaphysical anti-realism and endorses the conclusion of Fitch's paradox.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In Help, the lyric, help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody. Lennon warns against a de facto reading of his plea. I think Ross is getting a bit too into this. Okay, yeah. Oh, this one's great. From Maxwell Silverhammer. Joan was quizzical, studying metaphysical science in the home, late nights all alone with the test tubes. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. He was actually saying, in response to the anti-metaphysical scepticism of the logical empiricists, McCartney invents a strange new practical and empirical method for discovering metaphysical truths. From All You Need Is Love.
All you need is love.
Thanks. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.
Okay.
Lennon advocates a broadly Davidsonian theory of interpretation. That one wasn't Ross, that was Elizabeth Barnes who came up with that one.
Yeah.
From All You Need Is Love.
All you need is love.
The lyric, all you need is love. The lyric, all you need is love.
All you need is love.
And we get it.
All you need is love.
From All You Need Is Love, Lennon refused Empedocles' cosmological account with the lyric, all you need is love.
What was his cosmological account? Any idea?
No. I got no car and it's breaking my heart from Drive My Car. Lennon and McCartney endorse Meinongianism.
I'm assuming that's something to do with possessions and like
maybe
wanting some possessions.
This one's one of Ringo's lyrics.
Okay, shall we go? All right, if we find something clever, one of Ringo's lyrics.
It's from A Little Help from My Friends.
Okay, do that song.
And the lyric is, What do you see when you turn out the light? I can't tell you, but I know it's mine.
Okay.
And Ringo asserts the ineffability and privacy of the sensuous given.
Let's say it again.
Ringo asserts the ineffability and privacy of the sensuous given.
That is baffling.
From Come Together.
Yeah.
Come Together Right Now Over Me. Lennon and McCartney.
It's about Bukkake.
Yeah, next one. Lennon and McCartney point towards the unification of concepts on broadly platonic universals.
My God.
From You Know My Name, Look Up the Number.
Mm-hmm.
B-side to Let It Be. The lyric, You Know My Name, Look Up the Number.
Sure.
The Beatles advise everyone to learn their Erdos number. Now, I don't know what an Erdos number is.
Mm.
But I don't think they were saying that. I think they were saying, get my phone number.
Yeah.
Give me your ring because you're a fit bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was from St. Andrews University Philosophy.
I mean,
department.
There's always people who do that, isn't there? There's always people who read too much into things that there really isn't that much to.
I very much doubt that the. I mean, but then I suppose
that's also the beauty of music is that you can read various different things, can't you? And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not.
Hey, William, it's true of any art form, isn't it? And that's what makes it art, you know?
Yeah, it's bloody. Apart from bloody Big Brother.
Apart from. Justin Bieber,
yeah.
He's rubbish, isn't he?
And, what are you going to read from that?
And Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, and...
S Club 9.
Busted.
And McFlurry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like McFlurry.
Okay. I like McFlurry as well.
Delicious Smarties.
If you work for McDonald's, you want to send them some McFlurries.
Send them.
Keep we
them
mentioned cold. Them last week.
Freeze them.
Though. I mentioned them last week as well.
Yeah.
That was round one.
A little fact there, then.
What?
There's a quote from, what's it, you know, Morrissey.
Go on.
He once said that every time he goes past a McDonald's, he feels physically sick.
I'm surprised if Morrissey doesn't feel physically sick constantly.
I know, yeah.
I'm surprised when he feels fine.
He described, you know, this, you know, The Cure?
Yeah.
He described Robert Smith in The Cure as fucking miserable.
You know you're miserable if Morrissey's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Geez. Okay.
Go on.
That was the end of round one.
Yeah. So
you had...
Democritus and atoms.
And in response to the anti-metaphysical scepticism of the logical empiricist, McCartney invents a strange new practical and empirical method for discovering metaphysical truths.
What a load of bollocks.
Round two.
I'm going to talk about Hypatia. Okay? I got this from Isaac Asimov's Book of Facts, but he also got it.
Did he wrote iRobot?
Yes, he did. Yeah, so sorry. I found this from a site... Originally from, it's called allfunandgames.ca.
Allfunandgames.ca. Yeah.
But it's well-sourced.
Okay.
So, but even so, this is from this book anyway.
Okay.
So. Hypatia lived from 370 to 415 AD. Okay. She was a figure of beauty, eloquence, and learning, and the last recorded member of the Library of Alexandria, and the only noted woman scholar of antiquity. And she taught Neoplatonism, which is teachings of Plato.
Yeah.
She was a pagan, and she helped to demonstrate Euclid's ideas. Although Christian bishops were among her pupils, she was the subject of violent antagonism from zealots. And she was murdered in 415 by fanatic rioting monks.
What?
You heard.
rioting monks
and was this is how she died, and I apologize, this is a bit morose. She was brutally sliced to pieces with oyster shells.
What?
Gathered from the Alexandrian harbour.
Oyster shells?
Yeah.
Why don't monks riot anymore?
I don't know. they got them from the Alexandrian harbour.
Right.
This is obviously in Egypt, and I just wonder, like, did they find her, and then they capture her and go, right, they're going to kill her. And then one of the bishops went, one of the monks went, no, I'm going to go get some shells from the beach.
And they went, we've got knives.
We've got knives, but she uses these knives. No, but shells. We've got shells. But why use a because think about it, we could eat them, couldn't we? We'd eat the oysters, remember? That could be good. Because I just wonder whether, like, did they bring them with them?
Yeah.
Or did they go back and...
Were they wielding them like weapons during the riot?
Yeah. Guys, I've got these oysters.
Oh, they went to the riot straight after a sort of dinner party. Yeah. So they still had the shells.
Yeah. But it's just weird. Yeah, that's how she died.
I'm more surprised at the rioting monks.
Yeah. It's quite bizarre, really. She was obviously... I mean, she was a bit of a babe.
Yeah. Oh, she banged tidy.
She banged tidy, so... And she was smart as well, so...
That's all you need.
That's all you need. Love is all you need. That's a reference back to the first one.
What, you mean... you mean where Lenin refutes Ember Dockley's cosmological account?
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. So... Cool. She was called Hypatia.
Hypatia.
And she was sliced to pieces with oyster shells.
Oh, sliced to
How
pieces?
How horrible is that? It's really grotesque. What are monks thinking?
God.
You think some of them were a bit drunk? And the next morning they were like, oh, did we slice it to pieces?
Oh, that was mental last night.
Oh, God.
We sliced the bird to pieces.
Yeah. Why did we do that? I don't know.
Something in them oysters.
You suggested something about oysters. Did I? Oh, I think I remember saying something like that. Christ. I remember being on a beach at one point. Being really confused.
Right. So when I was researching this philosophy stuff, mm-hmm. I came across a couple of things that got me really angry. Right. Because I'd Googled, like, philosophy. The first thing I did was just Google philosophy and just to get a general idea
of
what I was looking
against.
Yeah, I
reckon you'd be quite lucky to get something from that.
And I came across, the first one I came across, this round is basically me getting angry at things that people think of philosophy on the internet.
Okay, right. To be fair, I think I'm going to be on your side on this one.
Right. No, you will be.
Yeah. Because things like this
The first thing me. I came across was on a forum mm-hmm. about the game Zelda.
Sure.
And it was called Zelda Universe, and some kid had written. So he'd started a thread, and it said... So my brother told me about his friend in university that takes philosophy class. I can already smell bullshit. Mm. He had an exam and one of the questions was simply, why? There was no question before it. In fact, it was the first question. The correct answer was, why not? Almost all the students failed. One of the students that passed was my brother's friend. No, that's bollocks. Mm. There's no way an exam question was why. And the correct answer was why not.
It's an urban myth.
What sort of philosophy exam has a correct answer?
Because I heard that was the one in England,
That really annoyed me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And then I came across a website. It's called Savoydsilver.net. And these were listed as, I'm doing inverted commas with my fingers, philosophical questions.
Okay.
But they're not. It's the kind of thing that Peter Kay would say in one of his stand-up things, right? And they've all got answers. Mm. They're not philosophical at all. One of them was, why does someone believe you when you say there are 4 billion stars, but check when you say the paint's wet?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's more than 4 billion stars.
Yeah. That's really clever. No, because you do, don't you?
Yeah.
You do check.
Do you want me to tell you why? Because you're not going to run off and check that there are 4 billion stars, are you? But if the paint's there...
Like a telescope.
If the paint's there and it's wet, you can go,
exactly. How stupid are we as a human race? God, are we funny? Are we funny people?
Shut up. Why do they use sterilised needles for death by lethal injection? What are you going to do? Just fucking dust off the last one?
Yeah.
Idiot. But you try and answer these ones.
Go on. Okay.
Do vegetarians eat animal crackers?
Well, I don't know. Depends if there's any kind of fat in them.
Like exactly.
Kind of meat fat in them.
They don't go, that looks like an elephant. I'm not eating that.
That's disgusting.
What's the speed of darkness?
What?
What's the speed of... we know the speed of light. What's the speed of dark? The same as the speed of light, idiot. Why did kamikaze pilots wear helmets? I did some research. They didn't.
I was going to say, just for
they wore like a leather and canvas.
I was just going to say, to just stop them from banging their heads as they got in the plane.
Well, yeah, they wore a leather and canvas hood that had like, they only wore it because the radio things covered their ears.
Maybe, yeah.
So that was a stupid one. If someone with a split personality threatens to commit suicide, is it a hostage situation? No. Because it's still just one person.
Yeah.
So, stupid. Next one. Why doesn't Tarzan have a beard? Oh, I'll tell you, because he's not real.
Yeah.
There you go. This one really annoyed me. Because it isn't,
go on.
It's not a philosophical question. It's the kind of thing that an idiot would say. If people evolved from apes, why are there still apes? Because we didn't evolve from apes. We evolved alongside them. We share a common ancestor, you fucking idiot. Why don't you ever see baby crows or pigeons?
What sort of question is that?
That's not a question.
Why don't you ever see baby crows or pigeons? Look in a nest and you will. Yeah. Fucking stupid. That so that was from SavoySilver.net. Philosophical question. They're the kind of thing that gets sent around in like an email, forwarding email from like the 1990s.
Have you ever seen those things that you sometimes get where it's like, it'll just be like a picture of like, or of some writing and it'll say something like that, you know, some kind of statement that's supposed to make you think about your life. They drive me mad.
Oh, the ones that I stumble upon.
Yeah, because I stumble upon them. One of my things is psychology.
Yeah.
And they sometimes come up and it drives me mad because it's not psychology. Yeah.
It's
bollocks.
It's rubbish.
And one of them I saw the other day was, why do we spend all our time building walls when we should be building bridges?
To keep out burglars.
Exactly. If you're literally talking about a builder. The builder. But we go, what am I doing? Mature.
Maybe it's a metaphor, Liam. Hey, Liam, it's a metaphor for, you know, why we always try and defend ourselves. Why don't we try and, you know, let's not have wars. Let's put that effort into peace. And, you know, that's what it's saying. If the black box survives every plane crash, why not make the entire plane out of the stuff? Because presumably it's not the kind of thing to make
a plane
out of.
Isn't it really heavy?
Yeah, obviously. It's going to be like ridiculous. What a stupid question. That's the kind of thing a 10-year-old would ask. I wrote a little note. I've got these written down. And I wrote little notes next to them. Because, with the kamikaze pilots one, like, I researched what they were made of and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've put, you know, the vegetarians eat animal crackers, and I've written next to it, providing they don't contain animal-based ingredients.
Yeah.
Next to the one about apes, I've just written in capital letters, stupid!
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Stupid!
Why doesn't Tarzan have a beard?
She's not real.
Stupid.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. Okay, so in that round you had...
Hypatia gets chopped up with oyster shells.
And stupid!
So, I want to talk to you about the death of Socrates, okay? When Athens was entertaining the idea of democracy, Socrates criticized the whole might makes right way of thinking throughout Greece and publicly praised Sparta, who were the enemy of Athens, which is obviously a stupid thing to do. And he was seen as a kind of a revolutionary in the sense he was pushing people to think about justice and the pursuit of goodness. Plato wrote this once that guy called Chaerephon, who is one of Socrates' students, just his mate,
his pal.
He asked the oracle at Delphi if anyone was wiser than Socrates, to which she said no. And Socrates believed this to be a paradox because he believed that he possessed no wisdom whatsoever. Take a compliment.
Yeah.
Don't be an arsehole about it. Do you know who the Oracle at Delphi is?
Yeah, are they in 300?
I don't know. Maybe.
They go to someone called Oracles or something, don't they? I don't know.
It's a priestess at the temple of...
Oh, Apollo, no, it's not.
At the bottom of Mount Parnassus in Delphi.
Oh, right, okay.
And she's like supposed to be the most prestigious and authoritative oracle during this period. So Socrates went to all the people considered wise in Athens, because he wanted to disprove this theory.
Right.
He wanted to disprove the Delphians. He said that he was the wisest.
Yeah.
Right? So he went to statesmen, poets, and artisans and concluded that each man thought he was wise and knew a lot, whereas in fact wasn't very wise and knew very little. So he then decided that the oracle was in fact correct, in that the so-called wise men thought themselves so and in fact weren't wise. And because he knew he wasn't wise, paradoxically, it made him wiser because he was the only man aware of his own ignorance. Genius.
Yeah, that's really clever.
Yeah.
No wonder he's famous.
Yeah. So by saying, I'm not wise, he figured out that he was in fact wiser than everyone else.
Yeah, clever.
So this riled up a load of people who were a bit pissed off about it, these particularly the wise men who they questioned. Because they felt like he'd made a fool of them, quite rightly so, you would think.
Yeah, he screwed them over a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So he also believed he wasn't leading Athens into disruption and defended accusations put towards him that he was corrupting the youth of Athens, which is what he was convicted of eventually.
An ancient Greek Marilyn Manson.
Exactly. In fact, he was actually said, based on his, because we're talking about crazy looks, Socrates was said to us always have worn the same old worn-out coat always have been barefoot and very ugly. He was put to trial for the death sentence because of this, and for not believing in the... Not because he was ugly. Because of the accusations against him, against destructing the youth of Athens.
Right.
And at his trial, when asked where he thought his punishment should be, he suggested he should have a wage paid by the government and free dinners for the rest of his life.
Brilliant. I wonder if that ever worked. Yeah.
And it didn't work. It didn't work, and he was sentenced to drink hemlock, which is what I was saying.
Poison,
before,
yeah, poison.
And apparently his defence, the reason why he defended himself in the way, was because he believed it was his time to die. He believed he was ready to die. And his last words were to his lifelong companion. That's not like a gay thing. He's like, just his mate.
It was ancient Greece, though.
It was a guy called Crito who wrote, he later wrote his conversations up between Socrates and himself.
Okay.
In a book called Crito. Called his own name.
God, that's like Katie Price bringing out a book.
So his last words were to him, and it says after he'd drank the hemlock, and what he had to do, he had to walk around, and his legs got numb, and he had to lie down on the floor. His last words were, "Crito, we owe a rooster to Asclepius. Please don't forget to pay the debt." That was his last words.
Now that was
a rooster.
That was a metaphor.
Yeah, it was off. It's been since then. It's been. Everyone thinks it's a bit of a metaphor, saying that it was more about he believed that his death was kind of allowing people to have a bit more freedom.
Yeah.
By doing it, so that's what the debt is. So yeah.
What a guy.
That was all from the Washington State University website and various others. To be fair.
Now Socrates pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah.
The guy that I researched pissed people off on purpose and loved doing it. His name was Diogenes of Sinope. And he was kicked out of Sinope for defacing the currency.
Okay.
He moved to Athens purely. His intention of moving to Athens was to debunk cultural conventions.
Right.
He believed that virtue was better revealed in action than in theory. So all of his philosophy, he just did it through what how he lived. He didn't do any writing or anything like that.
Okay.
He just did it as how he lived. He used his lifestyle and behaviour to critique the social values and institutions of what he saw as a corrupt society. This is, we're talking ancient Greece here, by the way. I've just jumped straight into this. It was ancient Greece. Alexander the Great was the ruler. He declared himself cosmopolitan, meaning that he... I had to research what cosmopolitan actually meant, because I didn't really know it. Believing that we're all... that everyone around the world is all part of the same group, and that separating yourself into countries is kind of pointless because the person in the country next to you is the same. So being patriotic is really just pointless because everyone's the same. And hey...
To be fair, I often think that generally, because people get really patriotic and it's like they don't know anything about their own country.
It's luck, really.
It's luck. Well, of course it's luck. But also, like, they don't know anything about their own country. They just kind of go, yeah, England's brilliant. Oh, it's great to be English.
Yeah, because St. George was from the Middle East.
Yeah.
And our national thing of, oh, he killed the dragon.
Mm.
Well, obviously it didn't happen.
It was actually just a Komodo dragon.
It was just a little alligator.
He just kicked it.
Kicked its head off.
I did it! St. George!
Right. Yeah. He, Diogenes, purposely just didn't have any possessions. He lived in poverty, begged for a living. He slept in a tub. He got a tub that he turned sideways, so it was like a little... tunnel type thing, and he slept in the marketplace in there. That's just where he lived.
Okay.
He became notorious for his philosophical stunts, such as carrying a lamp in the daytime, claiming to be looking for an honest man.
Wow.
It's like a crazy performance artist.
That does sound like performance art.
This is brilliant.
Okay.
You know how I said he likes pissing people off?
Yeah.
Alexander the Great heard about him. People used to go to him, and he was quite a clever guy. And basically... Alexander the Great heard about him and was interested in finding out about him. Alexander the Great went to see him at his tub in the marketplace. He went up to him and said, Diogenes was relaxing in the sunlight in the morning, and Alexander was thrilled to meet this famous philosopher. And he said to him, "If there's anything you want me to do, I'll do it for you." Alexander the Great said this to him, this beggar. He said, "Anything you want, I'll do it for you." Diogenes said, get out of the sunlight. And he got away with it.
Well, legend.
He got away with it. He just said to him, yeah, move. You're in the way. How good is that?
Oi, dickhead. Move.
Alexander the Great then declared, after he got dissed by Diogenes, he said...
He got his guards went, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, you got served, son!
If I were not Alexander, then I should wish to be Diogenes.
Oh, what legend?
In another account of the conversation, Alexander found the philosopher looking attentively at a pile of human bones. Diogenes said to him, I'm searching for the bones of your father, but cannot distinguish them from those of a slave. Deep, man.
Yeah.
Deep. Quite clever as well, that.
Yeah, it is.
I like that. Now, there are conflicting accounts of how he died. He could have held his breath till he died, which is impossible, so we'll stress that. He became ill from eating raw octopus or suffered an infected dog bite. When asked how he wished to be buried, he left instructions to be thrown outside the city wall so wild animals could feast on his body. When asked if he minded this, he said, not at all, as long as you provide me with a stick to chase the creatures away.
What?
When asked how he could use the stick, since he lacked awareness, he replied, if I lack awareness, then why should I care what happens to me when I'm dead? And he took issue.
That's
with,
actually quite clever.
He took issue with people's obsession with having a proper burial.
Yeah.
Because he just said, well, you're dead, why does it matter? I agree with him.
Yeah. Although.
It's more for people's families.
Yeah,
than
that's
the actual
point.
Person.
That's what people
But he
say,
didn't have any family, so he was just saying, I don't care. He scorned not only family and political social organisation, but property rights and reputation. He rejected normal ideas about human decency. He ate in the marketplace, urinated on people who insulted him, defecated in the theatre, masturbated in public and pointed at people with his middle finger. He was basically just a drunk tramp.
He's a tramp! He's not a philosopher! He's a tramp!
So there you go, Diogenes.
I liked him. He sounded like a nice
guy. He's a great guy. Such a troll.
Yeah, he really is. He was the original troll.
So there you go.
In that round, you had Socrates' death.
And Diogenes' life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Eat your facts, they're good for you.
Getting your thoughts on the world.
All right, okay.
If you could say anything to a little baby, and it'll understand you, and it'll take what you say and use that throughout its life, what would you say to it? What advice would you give to a new life in this world? Thinking.
Always watch the Muppets. Particularly Sesame Street.
That's really good.
Because I'd want my kids to watch Sesame Street.
Okay. Always watch the Muppets.
Watch the Sesame Street. Watch Sesame Street.
Okay.
Every day.
Okay. Any more?
Teachers are good.
Have you got any tips for this new life that don't involve watching television?
Buy a television. Yeah, go on.
I'd say, just don't be a knobhead.
Yeah.
Just don't be a knobhead.
Don't be a dick.
That's my philosophical theory. Don't be a knobhead.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's a lot of knobheads around.
So, how did you find philosophy this week?
Really hard.
Yeah, me too. Really bloody hard.
Because it's difficult to find things that, that you can sort of get into something that's half an hour long. I found it really interesting doing the research.
Yeah.
It was the actual finding things for the podcast.
Socrates is a legend.
Yeah.
I love him.
I love Diogenes. I might just go and live in the town centre in a barrel now.
Think you'll win?
No.
I think you will.
I think neither of us deserve to win.
If you want to vote for neither, don't
vote. Don't vote.
Oh, but then we'll get no votes.
You can vote by emailing factoffpodcast@gmail.com. You can go to factoffpodcast.co.uk and vote on a poll there.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the Facebook group and you can vote on there. We ask a question and you can vote on there. Send us emails, send us Facebook wall posts, and send us some of your own philosophical musings.
Other ways of contacting us is to get a dog. Teach it to talk. Then send it to us. Send the dog to us.
Post it to us.
Post the dog to us. And then the dog can talk to us. So
you can record a message on the dog like R2-D2.
Yeah, or like that dog in what's it called? Up. You could find a pigeon, strap a letter to its leg, and then throw it really
just
hard.
Just aim it towards the northwest
just
of England
throw
and
it
throw
really
it.
Hard, yeah. Wrap it into a ball. Throw it really hard at us. Hopefully that'll get to us. Otherwise, have you got any other areas of interest that can contact us?
Did I say email?
You said email.
We've got a Twitter, you know, but I've just never used it.
Have we?
Yeah.
I don't understand Twitter.
No, I don't get Twitter.
No.
I think we're going to start using the Twitter.
Okay.
It's Factoff Podcast is the Twitter.
Okay, so
it's... At Factoff Podcast. But bear in mind that neither me nor Liam really know anything about Twitter.
No.
What we're going to do is, as an incentive, we're going to put like little bonus facts throughout the week on there. And we're going to do little updates about how the research and stuff is going.
Yeah.
So that no one can read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll update it this week and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So it's Factoff Podcast is the Twitter. And you vote on there if you want. Like, send us a little message. I don't know how it works. Just saying who you want to vote for. So we'll do that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so have we wrapped it up?
I think so.
Okay, then.
Next
week, Liam isn't here.
No.
So there's just going to be a little placeholder podcast like there was when I had the mumps.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in Glastonbury next week. Glastonbury Festival.
Should we do a 2-week vote on this one, then?
Yeah, why not? Or we could announce it in the placeholder.
It's going to be off the chain. No, I reckon we do a 2-week
vote. Okay, so you've got 2 weeks to vote for this one.
Bloody hell. Please vote, because that's the point.
Yeah.
We get the stats for the downloads, and there's loads more downloads than there are people voting. Okay, that's it. So we'll see you. I'll see you next week. Liam will see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, bloody hell. Glastonbury, give us those drugs. Let's have a party.
You'll be doing no drugs.
Fire.
You won't be doing any drugs, will you? You don't do drugs. You're not cool enough.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs are cool. Cool people do drugs. Don't do drugs. See you next week. Bye.
Ta-ta.
Thank you for listening to Factor. For more information, visit factorpodcast.co.uk.
Should I do my philosophy joke?
Yeah,
then?
Go on.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm sorry about this, listeners. If this makes it in, the podcast didn't go well.
Yeah.
An engineer, an experimental physicist, a theoretical physicist, and a philosopher were hiking through the hills of Scotland. Cresting the top of one hill, they see on top of the next a black sheep. The engineer says, "What do you know? The sheep in Scotland are black." "Well, some of the sheep in Scotland are black," replies the experimental physicist. The theoretical physicist considers this for a moment and says, "Well, at least one of the sheep in Scotland is black." Well, says the philosopher, "on one side, anyway." So should we start?
You know, I don't even get that joke. I don't even get it.
I think it's about the different ways that those people interpret the world.
Yeah. What a rounded joke.
Oh, very, very clever. Yeah. You know, it's
absolutely.
Should have written a penis joke, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should have put knob at the end. Can you not just rephrase the end, but with knob?
Yeah, okay. Well, the philosopher responds, "On one side, anyway." And he has his knob out when he says it.
Great. There you go. That joke's perfect now.
Okay.